Well, a bit of blinking with that. I apologize for that, but we're going to need to get a new bulb. For the men who are in here in the business meeting we were in, forgot to discuss that. The bulb costs about $300. So if you have any objections to that, then let Chuck know before he goes and buys one, because you can see what's happening and there's nothing we can do with it. First of all, I'd like to thank the congregation for the opportunity to fill in for Brother Tim, who is on vacation, for those who are visiting with us. He'll be going this Sunday and next Sunday, and then he'll be back the following Sunday. And some of the rest of us are just kind of filling in until he gets back. So we do appreciate you being with us. If you're visiting with us, you should have any questions, and you feel free to ask those questions, and we'd be glad to have those questions and try to give you a Bible answer to whatever questions you might have for us. For those who are visiting, we do have visitor cards in the back of the pews. If you don't have one, let us know and fill it out. That does not mean that we're going to come to your door and hound you to death. That's not what we're about. So we're just trying to thank you for being here, and that's basically it. All right. Brother Dan filled in this morning. I'm filling in tonight. We have a couple others next week. Chuck and Matt, I believe. So Matt's in the morning, Chuck's in the evening. Is that correct? So on behalf of the congregation, I would like to thank all of those who have endeavored to do that and invite you to come and hear them and their endeavors to do that. Heard one of them say, I've been working on it for several weeks. It is an undertaking if you're not used to getting something ready. So they need all the support they can get. I thank Brother Dan for his efforts this morning. All right, we're going to get into this lesson here so I don't keep you too late. A little bit of rain outside, I believe, but we've been having that here lately. So I want to talk to you a little bit about looking to the finisher of our faith. And, you know, that seems to be a difficult subject. And if you go to Hebrews, maybe this thing will work, maybe it won't. How about Hebrews 12 and 2 is where our text is coming from, and then we're going to feed off of one verse right there. Hebrews 12 and verse 2 is where we're at. And I'll be flipping back and forth. You'll see the different versions down here at the bottom, in case you're wondering. King James, most of them's King James American Standard, what it is. So if you don't have one, it reads exactly like that. That's what I'm dealing with. Okay, the text says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. All right, so what we want to talk about a little bit is that Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, looking unto the finisher of our faith. And I think the first thing that we need to consider is, from Strong's, what is faith? Faith is... I know in the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter says faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But if you look up the Greek word that goes along with that, it means persuasion, credence, moral conviction, religious truth, and especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. And that's what we're looking about when we say we're looking to the finisher of our faith. All of us have faith. We're all looking for faith. Something that we all have embedded within each and every one of us. It's a desire to please God. That's the way man made us. It doesn't matter. Everybody is looking for that. And it's just whether you find it or not and what's going to please God and what God wants you to do and how he wants you to do it. And Jesus is the one that went to the cross and there died for us and was nailed there in agony and pain and writhing in pain and died there upon that cross for us. So, when we say we're reliance upon Christ for our salvation, it is. Without him going to the cross and dying and there being nailed and suffering, bleeding, and dying, none of us would have an opportunity to be New Testament Christians. So that is the reason why he is the author and finisher of our faith. The finisher comes from a Greek word that means completeness, mentally and morally. And you'll see there that mentally and morally, just because it feels right and I'm going to do it doesn't mean it's going to make it right. And we need to understand that. This is what makes us complete mentally and morally, is following Christ and doing what Christ wants us to do. It is not going about doing my own thing, and I've heard that my whole lifetime. It came up with the generation right before me. If it feels right, do it, and do your own thing. And that was just a few years before I really became a teenager that all happened and was in full swing. So that came in my lifetime that has happened. So I can't blame that on our younger people. So as we think about this and the finish of our faith, you need to understand that He is the one that gives you the completeness for that end that you want for salvation. There's no one else going to do that for you other than Jesus. It's not going to be any man or woman or any other religious sect or belief. Okay, certainly we cannot look for the finish of our faith in man. It's not in man. It never has been in man. Never will be in man. And when we think about that and man and all that we know, and Jeremiah touches on that a little bit in Jeremiah 10:23, when he says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself." Okay, it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Every man that you can think about, you look back in the history books over the years, you look at people that tried to go alone without God, and all of them failed. Okay, they might have been some of the greatest men in history, but they all failed if they left God out of the picture. And we know that if we try to direct our own steps, that we're going to fail miserably and things are not going to go well for us. And we need to understand that. And we need to look to that author and finisher of faith, which is Jesus Christ, and not our own thoughts and think-sos or any other man. And that even goes for preachers. I hate to mention that, but some preachers think that they're above where they should be, and that we need to be very careful of that. So, when we know that's not in us to do that. When you go to Proverbs 20:24, man's goings are of the Lord. And how can a man then understand his own way? You know, God created us. We are created beings. Whether you like that or not, you're created, I'm created, and we're all created beings. Okay? And we were created by a creator that formed us and made us the way we are. Whether you like the way you look or not, that's the way God made you. And He made you that way for a purpose. You were a created being. And you need to understand that. And our goings are of the Lord. That's the reason why if you don't already have that interaction with God, you're looking for it, and you will look for that all your life unless you find it. That peace that passes understanding you will not find in mankind. Okay? Mankind throughout the ages have looked for a superior being. And we need to understand that. That our goings are of the Lord. And it's not our right to do things our own way and how we want to do them and perceive to what we want to do them. So we need to be very careful with that and make sure that we're doing what God wants us to do and not what we're wanting to do. And we need to be very careful with that there. Okay, in Proverbs 19:21, there says, "There are many devices in a man's heart, and many of them are no good." Right? The devices that we dream up and all the things that we do. "Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand." And nothing else will stand. Anything I dream up or you dream up or your best friend or your mom and dad, your grandparents, anything they dream up will go away. But what will stand forever is what God has put down, what He has put in place, and how that He sent the author and finisher of our faith, which is Jesus Christ, to die for our sins to give us that opportunity to go to heaven. So nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand. And no matter what you can do, you're not going to destroy it. And we get all up in arms sometimes because the church isn't as big as what we think it should be. And you discuss that and you think about how the church can grow. The church grows by doing what God asks you to do. It shall stand. It's when we don't work to our fullest, as we talked about there this evening in the meeting. As Brother Tim said, when everybody does their fullest, invites other people and tries to encourage other people, and we look at each other and say, "Hey, you're having problems. Can I share some of that load?" You don't see much of that anymore, do you? It's more, "I have problems, you share my load, and as soon as my problems are gone, you can forget about yours too, because I'm not going to help you." And that's some of the things that we need to get over in this world that we live in, and make sure that we understand that we're here for each other. Christians are different than the people out there in the world. The people in the world want to drag you out there to have some kind of enjoyment with them, or whatever's going on out there, the device is a man. I got to make time for myself. I work 40 hours a week. I hate to tell you, I work a lot more than that. But it worked 40 hours plus a week. And then you think when the weekend comes, that belongs to me, not God. God's first, family second, and everything else third. Amen. And sometimes we forget that. It's not in man. You know, it was on TV. I was running a little blip there last night. And Dan and I was sitting there before Dan came over. And he was talking about this Olympic athlete that was running the 200-meter dash. And he made it about 40 feet and pulled a hamstring muscle and fell to the ground. The world's fastest man at this time has a world record. And they don't even know where he's going to be able to run the Olympics right now. So he won't be able to finish that maybe. But we can finish it, and it doesn't depend on man. And it's not in the world, you know. The world is one of them things that causes us a lot of difficulty because it's here. We can see it. We can feel it. We can taste it. We can touch it, using some of Brother Dave Harless's terminology. So we can handle all these things, right? And it's what we're comfortable with and how we understand what we do and how we interact with each other. And we need to understand that this world is going to go away. In Romans 12:2, in the American Standard Version, it says, "And be not fashioned according to this world." Okay? The things of this world, that's all we know, right? "And be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of" who? God, right? It's not man. It never has been about man. And I hope we can all learn that and understand that and comprehend that it's about God and through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we have the opportunities that we have. So, and in Ephesians 2 and 12, this is talking about the Gentiles before Christ came and died upon a cross. Okay? But we were all in this same fix before we became Christians, right? And tried to do what's right. And Ephesians 2:12, in the King James Version, it says, "That at the time when we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel," they were outsiders. Remember, there were Jews and Gentiles, and the Gentiles were separated and weren't allowed in there, "and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." And I hate to have to tell you, there's a lot of people out there without hope. And maybe you're the one can invite someone to save their soul. Wouldn't that be great? Maybe that's all you can do. If I don't drop anything else, maybe that's all you can do is invite somebody, which is great. Okay? They need to hear the gospel. It's about God. It's about His Son, Jesus Christ. It's not about me, and it's not about you. But they need to see Christ living in us. Because we were all without hope in this world. At one time before we became Christians, every one of us. Some of you were raised in the church and had that blessed opportunity. I was not one of them. All right? I became along later in life. Okay. In John 15:19, "If you were of the world would love his own." Isn't that something? That's true, isn't it? When you're doing things that the world wants you to do, oh, you're a great person, we're really having fun and everything's great, and you're doing everything the world's doing, and we're just all group hug. How's that? We're in that sphere, and everybody's going great, and everything's great in our lives, but we're forgetting about God. It's not in this world. It's not of this world. Jesus said, "Be in the world, but not of the world." Okay? Be in the world, and not of the world. He says, "But I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." I don't know about you, but when people invite me to parties or stuff like that years ago and I tell them no, they keep coming back a little bit. After a while, they decided I wasn't worth the time because they knew I wasn't going to come to their drinking parties and I wasn't going to get into all the other foolishness that they were getting into. And you'll notice them kind of excluding you when they're having parties or weddings or whatever. They'll just not even invite you. And that's fine with me. If that's all they're going to do is drink and carry on, I don't need that. I don't know about you. All right, you know, it's not of God, it's not of man, it's not of the world, and Christians are the finished product. Christians are. Jesus died that you and I might have the hope of heaven, right? Jesus died to take away our sins. Christians are the finished product. Looking to the finisher of our faith is Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that. In Colossians 3:10, he says, "And have put on the new man, that is, being renewed, unto the knowledge after the image of him that created him," in the American Standard Version. The new man. Before I became a Christian, didn't act a whole lot like a Christian, except for about a year or so before that. or maybe 2 years, and then things started changing in my life, and I decided to want to be a Christian. And that's what it's all about, becoming that new person. It's not about staying where you were at and letting God come to where you're at. You're coming to where God's at, and you're not dragging all this other baggage with you. And we need to understand that and put on that new man. In Romans 13:14, in American Standard Version again, it says, But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What do you hear in the world? You hear in the world, I had a good party this weekend, I had so many kegs of beer and all the other things going on, and we really had a great time. Really had a great time. Did you really? Drugs are prevalent anymore. You'd be surprised. In the last 3 years, I can probably think of, in our company alone, just the area that I deal with, probably 6 or 8 people that have lost their jobs because of drugs, adults. So you need to understand that the things that of this world are not for us. And the finished product, if you're going to put on Jesus Christ, then you got to deny this flesh and the lust of this flesh. There's nothing wrong with desires. All of us have them, and we wants and desires. There's nothing wrong with that. It's how we go about to get those wants and desires fulfilled in our lives. Okay. And when you think about this, you think Christians are of Christ, and they're the finished product. In Ephesians 4:24, it says, "And have put on the new man, that after God hath been created in righteousness and holiness of truth," American Standard Version. You put on the new man. That takes effort, right? You know, work. I was out here working the other night with Chuck, and CJ was there, and we were working. And I told CJ, this is something that you have to learn how to do, is work. And most young people today don't want to learn how to do that, as work. And you have to learn that. Just like being a Christian, you have to learn. And you have to work at it. It's not going to come to you naturally. They're not going to pour it on your head and it's all going to sink in. You're going to have to work at it, just like I have to work at it. And be very careful with it. And then as Galatians 3:27 in the American Standard Version says, "For many of you have been baptized into Christ," have what? Put on Christ, right? Baptism is where it starts. And we'll talk about that towards the end a little more. But that's when you put on Christ. Okay, you kind of struggle with things a little bit before you want to become a Christian. Anybody remember being a little bit older and becoming a Christian? Some of the baggage you were dragging around with you, and you had to try to get rid of that baggage, and how difficult it was for you to get rid of that baggage. And then you decide, well, it's not worth it. I want to do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to do the very best I can to make that happen in my own life. And all these other things will be trivial in respect to what God wants me to do. So when you put on Christ, you belong to Christ. That's what that ending means on Christian. I belong to Christ. Would Christ be doing what I'm doing or not? If you've been baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. Maybe we all need to take a good look in the mirror sometimes, right? And do a little self-examination. All of us, myself included. To make sure that we keep ourselves in the area where we need to be with that. And thinking about what we need to be thinking about. What about you as a person? What about me as a person? Are you looking to the finisher of your faith? Am I looking to the finisher of my faith? Okay? There's some in here that's run before, Blake and Nathan and others. Believe it or not, way back when I ran a little bit. Wasn't there as good as either one of them, I'm sure. But you had to finish your race, right? Okay. Did anybody see the little, there was a thing in the newspaper or something about an Olympic athlete the last time around that didn't finish the 400 meters, and he got hurt, and his dad came out and helped him walk across the finish line, basically carrying him. But they said he finished the race. It doesn't matter whether you win first place or not, it's just whether you finish. Amen. It's whether you finish the race. What about you? Now, Pilate asked the question of the Jews. In Matthew 27:22, in the King James Version, Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they say unto him, let him be crucified. What about you? What are you going to do with Christ? He is looking to the author and finisher of your faith. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with him? Make it personal, because it is. And we only have so much time on this earth, and it will run out. Pilate, being a politician like he is, it's an election year, right? You have politicians, they'll do things out of the ordinary in election year, right? They're all wanting to go around and kiss all the babies and hug everybody and make sure everybody's happy because they want to get reelected. And then a couple years in between, or if they're 4 years, maybe 3 years in between, they could really care less about a lot of that stuff, but then they really put on the charm whenever the reelection comes around. So, this is where Pilate's at. He's trying to sway the Jews, make appeasement with the Jews, and still carry out the Roman law, and still be a Roman leader that he was. Instead of standing up for what he knew was right, he gave in to the Jews, and the Jews let that happen. So what about you? In Acts 26 and 28, King Agrippa, when Paul went to King Agrippa, and he reasoned with him about the things that were in the Scriptures. And King Agrippa wasn't a real good man. If you look in history, King Agrippa was not a real good man. But he was a leader, and in the Roman hierarchy, if you would, and the Jewish people especially, King Agrippa. And so he goes, and then at the end he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What about you? Is that going to be said about you? Could we write that epitaph on your tombstone? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. We don't want to write that on our tombstone, do we? Do we? We want to make sure that we're there. And so we can see that Agrippa, and then you had Felix was the other one. In Acts 24 and 25, what about you? And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, what happened to Felix? He trembled. You ever have somebody tell you something and you just shake inside? That's where Felix is at in this whole thing. He called for Paul hoping to get a bribe, if you read the text there. He wanted money. He wasn't a very good man either. But when Paul reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, he trembled. It had an effect on him because it was the Word of God. And it shall stand. It's not everybody is going to do that. And the answer, go thy way, for this time when I have a convenient season, I will call for you. Now when you're thinking about all these things in your life, and you know that we're looking to the finish of our faith, and it's not in man, it's not in the world, and Christians are the finished product, and Christians are in Christ. When you have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. Without baptism, you've never put on Christ. And you think about all these things and you weigh them in your mind. Am I right? Am I wrong? Do I have worldly influences that I'm struggling with? Are my friends causing me problems? Come on, Harold, you can do this or you can do that. Come on and go with me. You can do this. You'll have fun. And then find people like Brother Ken and get to deal with some of them out there in the world. Right? In case you don't know Brother Ken, he's a policeman down at Wheeling. And he gets to deal with all these things that we think are so great until we cross that line and we go too far. And they get to deal with those people. What about you? You know, we judge Pilate pretty hard because he was a politician. And we judge Agrippa pretty hard and Felix because that's text that's written down in the Bible and we read it time and time again, don't we? Well, what would be written in the Bible about us if they had Harold Marshall in there or some of the rest of your names in there and after that? What would be written? What epitaph do you want on your tombstone? Something to think about, right? Something to think about. Because it is a heavy burden. And we're all struggling with this. You think that you're the only one that has people pulling at you to try to pull you away from God? You think you're the only one having trouble finishing that race? You think those burdens you're carrying around are so great that you just can't carry them sometimes, yet you don't want to share the load with a brother and sister in Christ until it's too late and the weight gets too heavy? Or maybe you're afraid to. Maybe you've been burnt before. You know, none of us are perfect, myself included, but that word perfect means completeness. I'll never be perfect, I'll tell you that right now. They have a scale, rating scale at work from 1 to 5. And very seldom do you ever get a 5 because they said you'll never get there. And that's about right. We all have areas where we can improve, right? Myself included. And there's a lot of things that I can do better. And a lot of things that you can do better. And if you want this church here at Wellsburg to grow and to prosper and be what you want it to be, then you need to pick up and carry some of that load. And think about the load. Because it usually falls on a few. All right. For those who are with us and who are not Christians, we've talked about some things about becoming a Christian. We're looking to that finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified, and Him dying there for me. And you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the steps of obedience here for just the next couple of minutes. You know, the first thing you have to do, you have to hear the Word of God, right? It shall stand, remember? Forever, another text. It's not going to go away. We might go away, but it's not. In Acts 13 and 7, he says, which was with the deputy of the county surgeon Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the Word of God. The problem is the lack of desire. Okay? The lack of desire. When you get to desire, then that's the first step right there. Desire to do what God wants you to do and how He wants you to do it. No matter what else. Okay? Sergius Paulus wanted to hear this. So he called for them with that desire to hear that. What about you? Do you have that desire within you? Do you want to hear the Word of God and what's going on with that? What about belief? To believe in something. Right? In Acts 8:37, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, not just part of it, not just a little corner in there that you got for God and the rest of us for man and the world. It's with all thy heart thou mayest. And answered and said, I believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God. That's it. And then Philip and the eunuch went down to water and he baptized him for the remission of his sin in that text. Repent. You know, this is probably one of the hardest ones to do because when you look at Acts 3:19, there's repentance, which is a change of direction, and be converted. You know, I can say I'm sorry 10,000 times, right? And I have many times in my life, believe it or not. I've not always done things the best. And you have to say you're sorry. But then if I continue doing it, am I really sorry? To be converted means I'm not going to continue doing that over and over and over again. Right? Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's what we all want. We all want to go to heaven. And I want to see everybody in this room go to heaven, in Wellsburg, anywhere else. And all they have to do is do what God asked them to do. Now, whether they're going to do that or not, that's another issue. It says, for with the heart, in Romans 10:10, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Remember the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. That's a confession. Hear, believe, repent, confess that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God, right? And then baptism, and you go to Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, where you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. So if you want to be in the likeness of the resurrection he was in, then you need to be buried with him in baptism to rise to walk in newness of life, as it talks about in other places. And then the one that's difficult, that's the easy part, right? To hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and everything's great. Now I can go on and just live my life however I want, right? So we need to be careful of that. Because right here James says, in James 1 and 12, blessed is the man that endures temptation, because you're all going to get it. And when you become a Christian, you're going to get a double dose of it, or more. It's going to happen. Okay, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You know, it is not a one of us in here at times don't have problems with our jobs, our families, our friends, you name it. Not a one of us can escape that, can we? And we're going to have to endure all that and keep on keeping on to make it to the end. So you need to think about that. If you're with us here this evening and you haven't became a New Testament Christian, you haven't done the things that you need to make that right. The song that Brother Ken picked for this evening is a good one, because it basically has to do with prepare to meet thy God. And that's what we're talking about, the finisher of our faith, looking to the finisher of our faith. So as we think about that this evening, who is the finisher of your faith? Is it Jesus Christ? Is it man? Is it the world? Where is it? Are you struggling with that? Don't feel bad. Everybody struggles with that. Okay? But it's how you overcome that struggle and that temptation. So we need to think about that this evening. If you're with us and you're not a New Testament Christian, we afford you the opportunity to become a New Testament Christian by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, and to wash away your sins. If you're here and if you bring public reproach upon a church by doing things you ought not, that are in a public way, then we offer you the opportunity to make those wrongs right also, and we'll pray to God for you, and you can pray to God that he might forgive you. So as we stand and sing number 297, please think about that.